Welcome once again to our study in Philippians. And if you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Paul's epistle to the Philippians. Today we are in chapter 2. A rich and full text about our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I will read the first 11 verses, and I invite you to follow along with me. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and those of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is a very good study to piggyback off of the sermon which we had this morning, because in these few verses it teaches us a lot about humility, and it teaches us a lot about ourselves and pride and putting others first. The first few verses here pertains to cultivating a brotherly love. And the unity of each one of us in Christ as also as a people of God are to be unified. And this is something that Paul was dealing with in the Philippian church, because in chapter 4, in the second verse, Paul writes, I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. So apparently there was some strife and divisions that was going on in the community there at Philippi. And so Paul wanted to address this. And he really gets to the crux of it here in chapter 2. And he begins in verse 1, therefore, if any consolation in Christ, and you notice the ifs, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy. Paul had a way to write to people in, well, I don't know if you want to call it somewhat of a sarcasm, but if anybody was good at doing that, it was Paul. We remember when he wrote the letter to the Corinthian church. He said, even if I speak with the language of men and of angels and have not love, I am as a clanging cymbal. And that was more in sarcasm, because we all know that Paul didn't have or didn't speak in the language of angels. But he was just, in a sense, trying to open their eyes, trying to shock them. And this is what Paul is doing here in the first few verses of Philippians, just trying to shock them. Just imagine Paul saying this to you. If there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, make this personal, if any affection and mercy. You see, Paul thought it was very important that the people be unified as well as with us, that it is very important for us to be unified. And in doing so, in verse 2, he says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. The apostle is asking them to fulfill his joy, that they will be like-minded. As well as each one of you feel the joy of Christ when you are like-minded. And we can think of this as being doctrinally oriented, where we say that we have to all believe the same thing doctrinally, but that's not exactly what Paul was talking about here. He was talking more of a personal like-mindedness, a like-mindedness that wasn't selfish. For he says in verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. And then in verse 4, let each of you look out not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. If we turn back to Corinthians, and we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I quoted with you the first verse just a while ago. But listen to what Paul says in verse 4. He says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up or proud, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things. And here in verse 7, when he speaks of bearing all things, that's bearing with one another. We are all fallen creatures. We all make mistakes. Even men make mistakes sometimes. And we know, men, that sometimes we can be somewhat proud. And we don't like to admit our mistakes. And then for you wives, you must bear with us and love us. But it's for all of us, men and women, all of the people of God. We are to bear with one another, even in each other's idiosyncrasies. Believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. For we are to endure all things with one another. Our faults, those things that even may bother us about another person. We are all of the body of Christ. We should be unified with one another. And not trying to look out for our own interests. Because that's not being unified, that's just looking out for yourself. We must come before one another with humility. And that's what Paul is trying to convey to the church in Philippi. And it's something that can be difficult to do because one of the things that has come out of the fall is that by nature we tend to want to defend ourselves. We even tend to put a bubble around us in our own little sphere that we can protect ourselves from any harm. And that we do this, and it's us putting ourselves before others. We must step out of our own bubble, our own sphere, and bless others by putting them first. And that's what Paul is trying to get across to the church in Philippi. And even though it may be a difficult thing, this is Paul's desire, and this is what he says will give him great joy. And as I say that this afternoon, this is what will give Christ great joy as you put another first. Even if it's helping somebody else move or to work on their house, and you have chores to do of your own, like mowing the yard, trimming the curb, the grass along the curb, whatever it may be, knowing that it's going to put your work behind. But helping another and putting them first when you see a need, God will bless that. Because he goes on in verse 5. And Paul writes, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So this was the mind of Christ. You may be asking, well, how was this the mind of Christ? And so the next few verses, we get an indication of the mind of Christ. That we are to be like-minded as Christ. For it says in verse 6, "Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men." It speaks of the incarnation of Christ. And in verse 7, "He made himself of no reputation." In the Greek it says, he emptied himself. And well, what did he empty himself of? There have been scholars that have said that he emptied himself of his deity. Well, he didn't. But he emptied himself of the manifestation of the glory with the Father in heaven. That's what Christ emptied himself of. And he left that to become a man. Yet a man without sin. So that he could live his life for others. He was a slave. In a sense, he was a slave for you and for me. This is what Christ did. And when we humble ourselves to put others first, it is just a minute portion. I couldn't even tell you how small of a portion of what Christ gave up for us and what he did for us in the incarnation. Then in verse 8, Paul writes, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even to the point of death, even the death of a cross. Jesus knew when He left heaven and became a man that the cross was inevitable. And the shame of the cross was great. For it is for those who commit heinous sins that will make you cringe. And to be propped up on a cross, naked, that all men could see you. The shame of that. Cursed is the man who is hung on a tree, we are told. And Jesus endured this. He came from heaven to earth to go through that humiliation. So how much is it really for us to think of others first instead of ourselves? That is being Christ-like. That is putting on the mind of Christ. And that is living as Christians, as we are to live. Then in verse 9, therefore God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name. So the next few verses speaks of Christ's exaltation. Did He stay in the state of humiliation? No. Will you stay in the state of humiliation which you are in now? No. For as you put others first, I think it also flows that this is an example of what will become of us. God will exalt you and me one day. It doesn't necessarily mean that He's going to exalt us here in this world, for Christ wasn't exalted until after He died. He suffered shame and the torments of this world while he was alive. So why would that not be the same for us? But as we live our life, which is but a vapor, as we live our life for one another, and as we live our life in humility and humbleness before one another, and thinking and considering others, even before ourselves, is a difficult thing. But isn't that the perfect example of our Lord and what He did for us? And then to look forward to that day when we do pass on. And we do look forward to the exaltation by God as we receive our reward. And this is what we are to look to. And this is the message of the first 11 verses of Philippians. There is much more that can be said in these verses. You could preach a year of Sundays on these few verses, because it's so rich and full of the manifestation of the glory of God and the work of Christ and what He did for us. So remember that. And you can work on these things each and every day as you remember what Christ did for you. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we ask that You do bless us with not just the knowledge in our heads, but the knowledge in our hearts that we may carry with us from this day forward and always throughout our lives, the realization of all that You have done for us. For we do not even understand the minutest portion of what You really have done for us, what it would have been like to have left glory, come to earth, and live as a slave. Lord, make that more real to us, that we may, in the life which You give us, live it to put others ahead of ourselves, to live it, our lives, in the love of You, which means we love our brothers and our sisters. And we care to uphold them and to bear with one another. Lord, thank you for your word you've given us here in Philippians. And may it bless us throughout this week and throughout our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.